Welcome to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm Dylan Goldberg, host of the show and business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Over the next half hour, we'll look at who had a good year and who had a not-so-good year in 2012. For some, it was a banner year. Companies saw profits rise despite the stagnant economy, tourism to Las Vegas began to increase, and developers started planning projects to better accommodate both visitors and residents. Others had not such a great year. A handful of businesses were named in lawsuits and criminal investigations, union members squabbled with employers, and the real estate market continued to twist and turn. Today I'm joined by reporters Rick Velada and Ron Sylvester, who will run down some of the winners and, we won't call them losers, but maybe those who didn't have such a hot year. Welcome, Ron and Rick.
Hi.
Hi, Dylan.
Hi. So let's start with some good news. We'll get 2013 almost off to the right foot. Terminal 3, that was one of the big stories of the year, and it seems to be a smashing success.
It has been a success. It opened at the very end of June, and then through June, July, and August, various airlines moved in. There's now 16 international air carriers and 7 domestic air carriers that use Terminal 3. I think in addition to the fact that it's just a very modern facility and it's got all the latest technology in terms of security, that it's also a pretty beautiful place. There's a lot of public art all around the terminal, and so far the airlines that have taken up residence there just love it. The newest airline that came in on the international side was Copa, coming in from Panama City. And they now will have a one-stop service into South America, which for Las Vegas and the tourism is fantastic. But then everybody else that it comes in, you know, your Virgin Atlantics and your British Airways and those types of companies, they just have found that Terminal 3 has just been a booming area, and it's increased our international visitation by more than 10%.
And that's key because domestic flyership is going down.
Yeah, that it's going down because believe it or not, the airlines are restraining themselves and they are cutting capacity on some of their routes. And so certainly the international story is the important takeaway for aviation and McCarran International Airport right now.
And that's good news for the airport, and it's good news for our tourism.
Yeah, I know a lot of the major casino companies are really excited about Terminal 3, and they've really kind of bumped up their marketing to foreign tourists, and they tell me it is basically around the building of this, that this was such a good investment and new thing. I mean, we're used to seeing new casinos pop up, but this is the one new big building that really is going to have a lot of impact.
Yeah, for 2013, it was like the major capital project that was going on, and $2.4 billion. That's about what you'd spend for a mega casino, but in this case, no mega casinos on the horizon, but certainly a new airplane or aircraft terminal is something that's going to do well for our tourism industry.
Absolutely, and it's beautiful. I've flown out of there. Ron, you mentioned casinos. Let's talk about who had a good year. Station Casinos comes to mind.
Yeah, Station Casinos did better than the other, so-called locals casinos. The others were struggling. This is, the station was, consistently turning a profit, and they saw growth 3 quarters in a row this year. And, they're reporting net revenues close to $300 million.
And that's a good thing. It's a modest profit, but it's a profit nevertheless, where some of the competitors can't say they're seeing the same thing.
Well, especially after, the years that they struggled and had to – work out partnerships with their, you know, bankruptcy debtors and things like that. So it's really, you know, to see them on the upswing is really a good thing. And also because, you know, they're the locals market, it shows that that, you know, I think it signals that the local economy is coming back when, you know, when people can, you know, afford to go back to those casinos and spend their money there because it's mainly a local market.
Absolutely. You also recently reported on Shuffle Master, the company formerly known as Shuffle Master.
Yeah, Shuffle with no U. But yeah, they've done 16 consecutive growth quarters and set records for revenue, for their operating profit, and they just really have done really well. Most of that is foreign sales of their table games and their new slot machines. You know, they've got that the new Flintstone slot machine that's selling really well in Asia and Australia.
Great.
Well, Dabba Dabba Doo.
Yeah, exactly. You said it. I was thinking it. Sort of along the same gaming lines, a bit of a bummer year for one big figure in gaming. Michael Colbert had a not great year. He was wrapped up in that alleged illegal sports book that netted 25 people.
Yeah, I think anytime you get indicted, you're not having a good year. But, you know, although, you know, an indictment is still just an accusation. I mean, nothing's been done in court yet. But, yeah, he was among eight people in Las Vegas who were indicted out of New York in a, you know, offshore online, you know, sports book scheme.
And the other thing that's incredible about this story, I think, is that anybody who knew Michael Colbert was the head of the sports book at the M Resort, and the M and a number of others are working with Cantor Gaming, and they've just been moving up the chain like gangbusters. A lot of technology driven sports wagering products that they provide, and the fact is that Mr. Colbert was apparently operating independently of the M and of Cantor, and they've distanced themselves from him. But certainly this is not going to play very well before the regulators, and certainly he's got some court dates ahead that are not going to be too pleasant either.
Absolutely, and he's accused of arranging the transfer of $100,000 in gambling money between Vegas and New York, and the details of the case still haven't come out, but hopefully I'm sure we'll find out more as this court case proceeds.
Yeah, and this was a part of a network that really stretched across the country from New York to Los Angeles, and it was you know, charged out of New York City, but it really involved just, you know, a lot of people all over the country.
Another bad year for local home buyers. If you're a seller, we're the fourth best sellers market in the country right now, and that's great if you've got a house to sell. But for somebody looking for a house, unless you've got a bag of cash in your back pocket, it was not such a good year.
Well, actually, you know, I have a personal story in this because I moved to Las Vegas this year, and I was actually looking at homes, and I can tell you firsthand, it is kind of a crazy market out there if you're not an investor, because a lot of the places I looked at personally, you would go and they would say, oh yeah, you got a great deal on this home, but it's missing half of the plumbing because the previous owners like took all the copper pipes with them, and I'm like, you know, that's, I kind of need that. And so, you know, it was great, like you said, if you had a bunch of money and were, you know, an investor and could go in and do all the work yourself, but otherwise not a great year.
And I think more than anything that this is a very discouraging statistic, and it's one of those things, it's a constant reminder, you know, when you have 70% of the people that own homes are underwater, and you have issues like some of these home sales. It's a constant reminder that our economy is not back, and you know, you just look at the unemployment rate, you look at the home buying issues, and you just look and say, you know, we're doing a lot of good things in tourism right now, but we're still not back. And it's going to take even more time. And I think people are just discouraged to see themselves on the bottom sides of all these lists that are out there about, or at the top of the ones that are the bad lists, like this one. It's just something that just kind of plays on the collective psyche of people who live here.
No, absolutely. Although some might argue, I mean, these houses are getting 12, 14 above asking price offers from these cash investors.
If you have cash.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mostly from California, right? So for the investors in the real estate market, maybe it was a banner year because stuff's moving and the realtors are making money, the sellers are making money. Sometimes it's a bank if it's a foreclosure. But yeah, if you're just Joe and Mary Jane looking for a home with your mortgage, they're really hard to find.
Yeah, and these could end up being really good investments because the economists are projecting that after we're in a very, very slow recovery. We're not back yet, but after about 2015, the population is projected to be back on the rise again. More people are going to be moving out west, and they predict Las Vegas is going to be one of the faster growing cities. So, people are going to be looking for homes. Now, whether they're going to buy or whether we're going to have a mass, rental market, it remains to be seen. So,
absolutely. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. We're talking about this year's who had a banner year and who had a bummer year. I'm here with reporters Ron Sylvester and Rick Velotta. You can follow this coverage on VegasInc.com and theLasVegasSun.com. But let's get away from some bad news for a little bit and talk about good news, water parks. That was another thing you couldn't escape in 2012, for better or for worse. For most of the year, we heard about two. Now it seems we might be getting three.
You just say the word water parks and people smile just because they have so many great memories of Wet n Wild on the Las Vegas Strip and some of the great attractions that were there. I know that I took my kids there on a regular basis. Andre Agassi told stories about how he went there when he was a teenager. So it's something that's part of our history. Now we're going to get two for sure. They're under construction right now. One of them is called Wet n Wild. It's kind of a different spelling because it doesn't have one of the apostrophes in the N. And then they're being put together by Village Roadshow, which is an Australian-based company.
And that's the one up in Summerlin, right?
Correct. And then the other one is in Henderson near the mall, and that one's being put together. It's called Cowabunga Bay, Las Vegas, and that's being put together by a water park company that is actually based in Draper, Utah. So and they're in a partnership with a local investor as well on that. So two water parks. They're presumably going to open on Memorial Day. That's the plan anyway. And then Ron's talking about a third water park, possibly.
Yeah. MGM Resorts International has gotten a preliminary approval from the Winchester Town Advisory Board to build a water park at Circus Circus. It's going to be located on about 5 acres near the part of what is now the RV park, which is near the Adventure Dome. So, and it's going to have several water slides and a kids area and a concession area. It's not going to be anywhere as big as these other two, but it's going to be a water park on the strip that people can enjoy and mostly tourist oriented for the people staying at Circus Circus. And it's part of a renovation they're doing at Circus Circus in kind of that budget resort area, because a lot of people like to stay there. A lot of people bring their kids, and then they want to add amenities to that.
I think you could probably say it's a safe bet, though, that if it opens on the strip and they're gearing toward serving tourists, that there are going to be locals who will find that place, just as they find the Adventure Dome. And you'll see locals going to the Adventure Dome, especially around Halloween, all the time. So if it's something that is a public attraction, people will go there. But as you pointed out, Ron, I don't think that this is going to be quite the facility that the Cowabunga Bay and the Wet n Wild are going to be. At least that's what we've gotten indications about. Cowabunga Bay's got a first of its kind water attraction. It almost defies description, but you ride into a kind of a vortex, and then you get tossed into a wave, and you go swirling around, and then finally exit at the bottom of the slide. It looks like a lot of fun, something that maybe I wouldn't be doing a whole lot of, but at least it's something that's brand new. No other water park in the world has that.
Yeah, and all these, you know, water parks in Summerlin and Henderson are far away from the Strip. They're almost like theme park type attractions, and just as local people are likely to find them on the Strip, I think these water parks, you know, tourists are going to find these bigger ones.
I agree.
Too. And it may actually pull some tourists off the Strip and bring them to some of these other areas and have a good economic impact in those areas, as you know, especially people who are driving in from California.
Who knows? Maybe they'll have shuttles to get them out from the Strip to some of those parks.
So it's possible. When Dad can take them one day, the kids, while Mom gambles, and then they can switch off. Well, also having a good year is these giant mega conventions, as you call them, Rick. Numbers are up, right?
The numbers are up slightly, but the thing that's amazing is that the number of conventions actually coming to Las Vegas is up substantially. But the thing that the reason why some of it's only a marginal increase in some of the numbers, is that these mega conventions, these really big ones, over six figures, have been doing very well. CES in January, Magic both in February and in August, the SEMA show in late October, early November. Those bring in more than 100,000 people. And they have done very well. NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, those have done extremely well and have had visitation or representation that exceeds, you know, between 5 and 10%. So those types of shows are doing well. And obviously Las Vegas is one of those few cities that can host a convention of that magnitude. So they love us. We love them. And it looks like just based on some of the projections that I've seen that these shows are going to continue to grow. And some of the ones that don't come every year are still on track to come every 3 years, every 4 years, which is something that, this last year we had the National Mine Expo. And that certainly was a huge show, not just from the perspective of the number of people that were here, but in the size of the equipment that was actually on the floor. And only Las Vegas can do stuff like that. So that's something that's really a feather in the cap of our city.
Good. Well, not to bum everybody out, but let's talk about some people who maybe didn't have such a hot year. Our poor Lieutenant Governor, Brian Krolicki. What's up with him, Rick?
Oh, I feel badly for Lieutenant Governor Krolicki, simply because Governor Sandoval had this idea on how he wanted to completely redo our economic development in the state. The leadership in that has shifted from Lieutenant Governor Krolicki over to Governor Sandoval. So now he just has the Tourism Commission under his purview. And the Tourism Commission, one of their big things that they wanted to do, and they've been working on this for years, like 10 years or so, is to get a Winter Olympic bid for Northern Nevada and California. Well, this last year, the U.S. Olympic Committee decided that they're not going to even try to have a bid for the 2022 games, which is what the Nevada contingent was looking to do. They wanted to get those games here in that year. So when the U.S. committee says, no, we're not going to bid for it, there's not a whole lot you can say. You just say, okay, well, maybe we'll look at it for 2026, and that's about what we're doing right now. In the meantime, though, Lieutenant Governor Krolicki has made an effort to get more winter sports to the state, other types of competitions, and lo and behold, we're going to have a curling championship in Las Vegas next January. Not this coming January 2014, not this next month.
We're all going to have to learn about curling.
Oh, you don't play already?
Get out your brooms. And this isn't so much about the sports. It's about the economic impact of these sports.
Right. Well, certainly whenever you have an Olympic venue, there's going to be a lot of infrastructure built. If you just take a look at Salt Lake City and everything that they've done in terms of picking up and improving their mass transit and their highway system there. This is something I think that the Reno-Tahoe area was looking forward to. And then obviously you'd have to build facilities for things like skating, and there would be a refurbishment of the Mackey Stadium on the UNR campus for the opening and closing ceremony. So there was a lot of things in play that could have benefited us long term, but that's not going to happen, at least in 2022.
And what do you see for his future, politically or otherwise?
Well, that's a big mystery. Right now, he's term limited out, and because Governor Sandoval won election over former Governor Gibbons, now they're kind of out of sync in terms of who's in office. So you wouldn't expect that Brian Kroelke would be running for governor next term, because presumably Brian Sandoval will be running. So it's kind of an unknown now at this point what Lieutenant Governor Kroelke is going to do.
Well, we'll be watching and seeing and waiting for our curling. Let's get back to some good news. Ron, Neonopolis and downtown in general has just had a booming year. What's going on there?
Well, you know, Neonopolis has kind of struggled, for the last 10 years. I mean, it's had tenants come, it's had tenants go, but now they think they've found that like retail didn't work down there, and so now they're kind of focusing on the entertainment, dining, and they have some really cool and different type of things going in there. Drink and Drag is the kind of nightclub bowling alley run by drag queens. And you talk to anybody who's been there and they love it. I mean, it's just a really fun place, and it's different, and it's got Vegas written all over it. And then Crave nightclub has moved from the Strip down into the old movie house down there, and it's going to be one of the largest gay nightclubs in the country, and so it's really bringing kind of a different crowd down there, and really kind of a fun crowd. And then Denny's opened, and people may say, well, Denny's, but this is a different kind of Denny's. You can actually go now to Denny's and get married, and they've got a microbrewery coming next year, and so they're starting to fill up with these places, and it's really starting to infuse some life. And then downtown, the buzz has been building, especially not only with tourists, but with locals. You've got the Golden Gate and the D and these casinos that have really done some major renovations. And it's getting a lot nicer down there. You go down and it's still affordable for people who don't want to spend as much as on the Strip. It's very affordable, and it's just drawing crowds. You go down there on Fremont Street on the weekend, and it's just packed, and they've got music playing, and it's just, there's just a general excitement. And if you talk to locals, everybody, and you mentioned downtown, their eyes kind of light up, and it's a fun place again.
And I expect this will continue until 2013.
We'll think about the fact that Neonopolis is going to have a new neighbor. They're going to have Slotzilla moving in right close to them. That's the new zip line attraction that's going to be built. It'll be a little bit higher, about twice as long as the existing zip line attraction that goes through the Fremont Street Experience. So that should be opening its doors in about June or July. So
fun coming down there. Absolutely. Why Slotzilla? Give our readers a little insight into this name.
Well, it's just a gigantic slot machine. It's at least that's what it looks like. And what happens is when the handle is pulled, which is done automatically, then the coins, instead of coins falling out, the people fall out. Actually, they don't fall out. They zip out, and then they're on their way down their 800-foot trip down to the underneath of the Fremont Street Experience. So it's going to be very, very fun, it looks like, for people who like that type of adventure.
And there's going to be two levels of it, too.
True.
You've got a lower zip line, and then one that can kind of almost skims along the LED screen up there, the canopy.
And for an extra $10, if I'm not mistaken, you can not only fall out of the slot machine, you can be power-launched out.
Power-launched, right. It's a new innovation in zipline technology with it. I think this is the first one that they've ever built. So another Las Vegas first is having the power launch on the zipline out of Slotzilla.
And I'd be remiss, I mean, while we're talking about the success of Neonopolis, some of the commercial real estate owners elsewhere in the valley are not having the same success. Commercial real estate vacancy rates remain up and the prices are still down, and people, landlords, are essentially trying to do everything they can with incentives and free month's rent and credits for improvements to get these tenants back into their buildings. In time for these holidays, a lot of people are going to be traveling. Let's talk about airlines. Spirit Airline had a banner year this year. Why is that?
Well, for some reason, people have really attached themselves to Spirit Airlines. And I say for some reason because a lot of people hate the way they do business in terms of promoting a lot of high fees. Well, their base fare is actually quite low. And then when you add some of those fees on, they are almost the same as some of the conventional airlines that are out there. But Spirit has grown exponentially in Las Vegas. They started off with like two destinations a couple of years ago, and now they've got, I believe, about 9 or 10. So they are constantly in a growth mode, and they've actually made McCarran International Airport one of their base cities for their pilots and their flight attendants. So Spirit is continuing to grow. They've talked about getting some new updated aircraft. So it looks as though it's going to be something that's going to continue to bring people here at a discounted rates as far as fares are concerned.
And even while people gripe about having to pay for luggage and seats and legrooms, they're still getting it.
You know, it's kind of like Shuffle Master. You know, they've had these consecutive months of profitable quarters, and them and both Allegiant Air, which has the same type of business model, same deal. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are very vocal about, I don't like these fees, but then they fly them.
Then they go online and buy their tickets. Yeah.
So it's one of those things that they continue to be successful, and I think they like Las Vegas as much as Las Vegas likes having them here.
Well, great. Thank you both so much. That's our quick wrap of the winners and poor babies of 2012.
Banners and bummers.
Yeah, exactly. Our banners and bummers. You're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. You can read more about our banners and bummers on VegasInc.com. We also have business coverage on LasVegasSun.com. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. I want to thank reporters Rick Velotta and Ron Sylvester for joining us. Thanks to Steven Zeller, our producer, and the entire KUNV team. Thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your day and happy holidays.